You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
What's up, Dog Pound? Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford out here coming to you live from the PNC Bank in Strongsville. Got to give a shout-out to the Warrensville Cowboys football team as well. Some of their supporters out here at the PNC Bank in Strongsville today, they wanted us to do that. Joe Jervis is joining me. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We've got Eric in Alliance with us. Eric, welcome to CBD.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Good. I just, you know, I've been watching all the games, and the defense, I think Armani Bryant is the most impactful player on that defense, and he just doesn't get any run. It drives me nuts. I don't understand why he's not on the field more.
Well, I can tell. I'll tell you this. First of all, you know from listening to this show that I've been a big Armani Bryant fan for a long time here. I thought he had one of the more dominant training camps of any player on the Cleveland Browns, and I can also tell you that his game utilization was at its highest this past week. So he played more snaps in that game against the Tennessee Titans than he had played in any game prior to that this season. So that's good news for him there. I like Armani Bryant. I want to see ways to get him more creatively involved. Maybe sometimes playing as that rush linebacker in the 3-4, I think that would be a good use of him because he's one of the more effective pass rushers on this team right now here in 2014. The seventh round pick from a year ago, Armani Bryant playing well. I don't know what your take is on him, Joe, but I think he's a guy that has a little bit of Alden Smith to his game. Very long legs. He's getting an ability to kind of get low, get lean, and he can also run at a very strong pass rusher. He's a guy that I like, and as I said, last week, 47 snaps, a season high out of 70 after only playing 15 out of 70 against the Baltimore Ravens.
What I could tell you is a lot of times in the NFL, there's so much stuff that goes on during the week. A coaching staff has to break things down. They need to see guys doing things consistently. And it's not only what you see on Sunday, but it's being able to have the confidence to put a guy out there consistently. And if you're not doing the right thing in practice, if you're not doing the right thing on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, it limits the types of things that they can turn you loose to, because then you become detrimental on Sunday. And being detrimental to a football team on Sunday is not a good thing. Now, obviously, he is playing. He's doing some very good things. But I would tell you that a lot of times what we see isn't everything. We see what we can only see because that's what the television shows us. Again, everything is based. It's always based on how you practice during the week with how much time you will see on Sunday.
Well, he must have had a good week of practice, got that season high in snaps, got his first sack in this game against the Tennessee Titans. I thought it played a very good game. The one thing I would say to him is make sure you stay where you're supposed to be. I thought there were a couple times he was setting the edge in the pass rush, and he had the outside contain and would loop inside, not in a stunt, but kind of go in there, freelance it a little bit, and we saw Locker get out of the pocket. So if he stays where he's supposed to and gets home, I think Armani Bryant is going to be an impact player. He was, by the way, Joe, my preseason guess to lead this team in sacks when it was all said and done in 2014. So I do
so
like Armani.
So he's proving you right right
hey,
now.
Well, we got one out of four. We need to pick it up. We'll take it. We're getting there. Let's go out to Ryan in the finest city in the nation, Las Vegas. Ryan, what's up, bro?
Hey, got a question for Joe. Joe, how many times a day do you remind yourself that you not only had to play the Pittsburgh Pukes in the Super Bowl, but you also had to play the referees as well, man? That was the most lopsided victory for
we talked about teams. It. We were talking about it earlier today before the show, as a matter of fact. The offensive pass interference on Daryl Jackson, which is immediately what came to my mind, was atrocious. And, yes, that was rough, Joe.
What's funny is we talked about this, I don't know, 2 hours ago, before we came over here to PNC. What I could tell you is I do not like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, again, a lot of that is because I was born and raised here in Cleveland, Ohio. I understand the rivalry. I am very, very respectful of what the Rooney family has done there. They run a great organization, but they cheated me on my second Super Bowl, on my second, what I thought should have been my second Super Bowl win. I know that we played that game, that we played it to a very, very high caliber in Super Bowl 40. We were running the ball all over the place. Our defense was playing lights out, and it's unfortunate that three calls made by one referee can change the outcome of the biggest game. I mean, it's not like it's some backyard football game. This was the Super Bowl. And the thing that's so funny is a few years ago, that same referee went to a Seattle Seahawks preseason game and actually apologized to the team for the mistakes that he made.
Really?
I can accept his apology. Yeah, I mean, it's a true story. The referee went to the practice facility and apologized at a team meeting. He says he hasn't slept, and he shouldn't sleep, because this is what I'd like people to realize is the work that every NFL team, and most importantly that our Cleveland Browns, are putting in there right now. You wake up at 6 in the morning to run. You get up early. You have your coffee. You try to wake up. You got to get the soreness out of your body. You study. You lift weights. You study some more. You practice. You run. You rehab. You have media obligations. To be able to do that every day with the one ultimate goal of getting to the Super Bowl and then have the outcome changed by a referee, it's very, very – it's a hard pill to swallow. And nonetheless, being a Clevelander and having to lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers in a Super Bowl, it still hasn't – it doesn't sit well, and I don't think it ever will sit well.
I don't think it ever will either. I know the sacrifices you guys make to get there and to have it taken away like that. Has a ref ever done something like that before? That seems –
That was
pretty uncommon.
No, it was interesting because my in-laws are all from the Seattle area. They're all from just outside of Seattle and Mercer Island, and it was really special. If I had to be in a different team other than Cleveland and obviously Tampa Bay to be in a Super Bowl, I would love to have been one here in Cleveland. But Seattle was great because my in-laws were all over there, and they obviously run a very, very good program over there. I mean, we just saw it last night. We saw it last year.
Yeah.
Things seem to be going well there. But the referee actually came in and apologized a few years ago. And
doesn't put a ring on your finger.
Doesn't put a ring on your finger.
At least you have one. Hasselbeck's probably more upset than anybody.
The hair is standing up on the back of my neck right now because it's twofold. I lost the Super Bowl, and the other side, again, it's the Steelers.
The Steelers. All right, Rick and Talmadge. Final call in a second before we bring in Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. What's going on, Rick?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
The one big problem I see with the defensive line is they're not getting off their blocks fast enough. I mean, they're pushing past the play, and if they look back, get off like at least a second and a half sooner, I mean, the play, the running back's like right there, and they just push past the running back, and all they got to do, they're going to like 5 yards past the play already. Yeah.
I would, to answer your question there, you know, it's very hard sometimes when you see a TV edit of a game and what you see on game film.
Yep.
I would be very, again, shocked. I use the word shocked a lot, but our guys are paid too. They're going to make the adjustments, and we have to realize this is only 4 games into a regular season, man. If you look at the conference and you look at how things are shaping up in everybody's record, right now it's a logjam. It's a logjam. And again, when you battle through injuries, you battle through facing different opponents, different type of linemen, offensive linemen, guys do things different. There's kind of a feeling out period that's involved with the game of football. And I see our guys, man, there are too many talented people that we have on our team that they won't make those corrections. It's so early. And without looking at game film, it's really hard to actually tell if they're not getting penetration. It's technique. These guys are paid too. Everybody has a name on the back of their jersey. And self-pride always pays out. So I don't take the guys that we have on our defensive line or playing linebacker for us as the type of people that are just going to kind of lay down and collect. I think those guys are going to get after it, and they're going to set a precedent here that the Cleveland Browns are going to be a formidable team to face for not only the Pittsburgh Steelers but every other team in the NFL.
The line's got to play better. I mean, at the end of the day, this line has to play better. When you play a lot of press man, it starts up front, getting to the quarterback, getting those people out of there. And really, when you look at this team with Mike Pettine as the head coach, being a defensive coordinator for 5 years, never out of the top 10, it is unacceptable to him that the Browns right now are giving up 422 yards a game, right, and are 31st in the NFL. I believe they will get that fixed because they must, and they know that. And, hey, even as bad as the D has been at times, as suspect as it has been, don't forget the Browns still here at 2-2, an opportunity to go to 3-2, and are just basically one, you know, little play away here from being 3-1, but they also are a few little plays away here from being 0-4. That's what happens when every single game comes down to the final seconds, as the Browns have had the first four games all decided by 3 points or less for the first time since, I believe, 1960 in the National Football League for any team to have that happen. When we come back, Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal will join us to talk about the Browns' start to the season, Pittsburgh, the win over Tennessee, the adjustments that must be made, and much, much more as we are live from the PNC Bank in Strongsville. Come out and say hello to Sean Gibson, Joe Gervicius, Nathan Segura. We'll be back with more.